Space! The final frontier! These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise!
No. No. We're on Voyager this week.
Oh, Voyager!
I found this on Ganarum. Ganymede.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Tolkien, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And...
Faith Hertzberg.
And as you heard, we are talking about Voyager today. What episode are we talking about, Faith?
Yeah, my brain died as soon as you said that.
That's a good episode. My brain died as soon as you said that.
There's the Spock's brain, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Revulsion from Voyager.
I love this episode.
Thank you, Aaron.
But, yeah, so I frankly find us all pretty disgusting, grinding up bits of plants and meat in our mouths.
Or tofu, and, which is like neither.
Yeah, and secreting saliva to force down our esophagus into a pit of digestive acid.
You know, that makes me really happy to think about. I don't know why he thinks that's like some negative.
That kind of makes me want to, you know, go make a steak and just eat it right now.
That's like such a metal way of talking about eating.
You say that, but after you've like thrown up like, you know, a Burger King hamburger with fries.
See, a Burger King hamburger with fries is not a steak.
It's a fish sandwich.
It does not look that good when it comes out.
It's not a steak.
The steak is okay both ways, man. The Burger King stuff, not so much because it congeals. Man, you're talking about quality meat. There's
yes.
Something to be said about good meat.
Some nice, like, filet mignon or some T-bone.
So you're saying it goes in and it comes out and it's basically the same thing.
Almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Depends on how much you chew.
The same too. Yeah, really.
Just swallow it whole.
You have enough stomach bugs in your life, man. You get to revisit enough of your meals.
While it's still mooing.
Wow.
It needs to moo at the grill in fear, and then you're done.
Before we get into Revulsion and other disgusting things that we will be talking about.
Which one did get you in the mood for Revulsion to think about?
Why don't I get you in your mindset of just how disgusting
human beings are.
Just fleshy, watery robots that we are, just like walking around and just sledging off
that
our cells and hair.
That require 59.6% of the ship's energy even maintain life support.
Slothing off all our dead meat.
That seems like it's very unenergy efficient.
Shedding dead cells everywhere.
Oh, yes.
And not to mention our carnal pleasures.
Ooh, my.
But we wanted to bring up something else.
Yes.
We have the Patreon started.
Yes, we started a Patreon account so that if you, the lovely listeners, like our show, you can donate to us and help us with things around in our podcasty lives.
Yeah, so we do this for free, and we don't ask much of anybody, but we've been noticing that we could do some equipment upgrades, we could do different things that help us, you know, bring the show a better show in the long run. So we have a couple different pledges. We have a $1 pledge, a $5 pledge that you would get our episode art.
Yeah, the monthly episode art. We'd send you all four photos or five, depending on how many we actually get done in a month.
Right. And then we have the $15 per month, which would be one of our commentary on a Star Trek episode. It would be a bonus episode, so this wouldn't be anything that you would...
get through the normal feed.
You wouldn't get through the normal
feed.
This
would be Patreon.
Yeah, this would be like a totally private. $30 a month would be for us to watch us record the episodes. So it's kind of like behind the scenes, see how the sausage is made, which is pretty ugly.
Not like it is on Sweeney Todd. Not yes. Like that.
No, it's pretty ugly. And I take
it's
my,
not as good as it sounds, trust me.
I take my pants off during all recordings, so just be warned.
That's why you should be really grateful that it's a podcast and you don't have to see anything.
Yes.
Oh, come on, ladies. Aaron's not that bad-looking guy.
No, but you don't want to see that. my ugly parts. Anyways.
Naughty bits. So,
by the way, dude, you might want to put one leg over the other.
There you go. And anyways, see that, Faith? You just got a full screen load. Oh, no!
That is why I look away. I don't look into the light. I know better.
Then we have the $50 a month. That's where we can join us for an episode, and you can talk about maybe a favorite episode of yours, and we can all chip in and talk about the craziness about it. And then the $75 a month is a we do a voiceover for you. There you go.
Yes, that means we'll record your voicemail or anything else that you might happen to enjoy.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, you could pick between Aaron, Faith, or I.
Or all of us.
Or all of us at the same time.
Actually, all of us would be like pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, all three of us in one spot, you might not be able to handle that.
Yeah, it would be pretty epic.
It would be.
It would be pretty awesome. Also wanted to let you know that Red Shirt Diaries is a YouTube video deal, and they are just started their season two actually a couple weeks ago. They just put out their second episode of season two. They're on the Menagerie Part Two, and then they'll keep going. I think there's going to be 20 episodes this season, I think I heard. So it's pretty cool. And it's a really cool concept. She's like playing like a Lower Decks Red Shirt, and just little small snippets of her life during the episodes of the original series in air order date.
Right. So it would be sort of like what would be going on if you were just an average crew member and not part of the bridge crew. Yeah. So you have no clue what's happening, and all this crazy shit's happening.
It's pretty fun and silly. They're like 3 or 4 minutes a piece. They're really fun. Check them out, the Red Shirt Diaries on YouTube. And whether or not they'll make a third season is going to be completely, entirely dependent upon how many views they get for season two. If they don't feel like it's a good enough turnout, they probably won't do any more. So let's show them a lot of love and give them some views so we can get some more Retro Diaries. It's all fan
generated, as we've been noticing. Besides that, the actual movie, so Star Trek is definitely fan generated these days.
And it's fun. They're quirky and silly, like us, sort of.
Yeah, I guess we're pretty quirky and silly.
Just behind the camera, we're very much only behind the microphone.
Very serious. We all work behind bank tellers, and we're very serious when we're not recording this.
Am I the only one of us three that has a fun job?
No, it's not fun.
No, it's true. It's gearing up on Halloween. This is about to suck.
Oh no!
So
spooky time, and now it's revulsion time.
Revulsion time. What makes you sick?
What makes me sick?
Like what you see, and just like I cannot stand that.
Willful stupidity.
That really makes you that sick. Like I mean, I'm talking like
it drives me worse than that.
Like, I don't know.
That would be about the only thing I would have to say. Maggots.
Maggots are kind of gross. Maggots are pretty gross.
Maggots are gross.
I would definitely. I can't think of anything like off the top of my head.
I'm pretty bad. I don't mind general like clutter, but like when things are not like clean, like especially like I go into bathrooms, it just freaks me the hell out.
Are you saying you're Danny Tanner?
I could be, but it's definitely I go in, like if I go into the bathrooms, one thing is I don't care so much for myself, but like I bring my kids to like public bathrooms.
Oh yeah,
especially like my daughter. And I'm just like, they gotta make toilets for little girls. I'm sorry, like I have to bring her in the guys' bathroom, and the guys just destroy the bathroom, and they don't even think about who uses it after them, and I'm like, I got a little sweet little girl, and I got to put. Oh, come on, you people! It just makes me hate all civilization.
Yeah, that's actually kind of gross. I've never really thought about that because women's rooms can actually get pretty bad. But
yeah, I've heard nightmares about women's rooms.
Well, when I was pregnant, I strategically planned for the family planning restrooms. So like now I know where all they are in town. So
that's how you think as a parent, because you think about those things like, okay, I can't go in there because that place is a disaster.
Yeah, and that's like walking into Auschwitz. Just how bad they are that I actually changed my entire pattern of behavior to completely avoid all these nasty ass bathrooms, and then I completely forgot about it just so I wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
Sorry, I brought the revulsion back.
Years of blockading that crap.
Brought the revulsion back.
That's how it goes sometimes.
I need to go bleach something now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, things revolt all of us. And, you know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure if I saw something, like, man, it would hit me and I would know. But it's sometimes just kind of hard to think about. Like, you just kind of push it out of your head. You don't think about it.
I think about things a lot like that. Sorry.
Some people are masochists, you know.
So here we got the episode of Revulsion. It's a Voyager episode.
From season 4. Mm-hmm. It's episode 5, soon after 7 of 9 has been made a member of the crew. This will be important later. But I love the teaser for the episode. This is a dude sitting against a crate. He looks like he's had a long, hard day of work.
He's, like, exhausted.
He's so tired.
But all of a sudden, someone pulls him away, and there's blood behind his head.
Oh, man.
A lot of blood.
And then this dude comes and he starts cleaning it. He's cleaning the blood.
He's like Danny Tanner. He can't stand inside of blood and needs everything to be clean.
And then all of a sudden he starts like shorting out. Like his whole image kind of shorts out and he makes a call saying, I need help. My crew's dead.
Anybody, come help. I think we're in trouble.
I don't know how to fly this thing. And then we have the beginning credits. So Revulsion starts with that. And then the next scene after the intro, we have the senior staff in the mess hall giving Lieutenant
Tuvok. They're doing the live roast of Lieutenant Tuvok.
Which is not hard, apparently.
To his face, which is fun and ballsy.
Yeah.
You might Vulcan neck pinch every one of them, even the captain, for all the horrible things they're making him relive.
And Paris and Kim were telling a tale when they programmed the computers to just continue to say live long and prosper.
No matter everything, every button you pressed. I think I wish that was like actually part of an episode. That would have been fun.
If you'd actually see it, the story doesn't sound actually as fun. So
it's better in the viewing.
Yeah, I think it would have been funnier to see it than having them tell it, because like you kind of like feel like they're phoning it in a little bit when they're like, I guess they did a lot of takes and got tired. Because like, oh, live long and prosper.
Yeah,
we said that. I'm like, you guys are totally phoning this like whole conversation in. This is not very good.
So Tuvok gets upgraded. Now
Lieutenant Commander,
and they all he gets his extra pip, and then they all kind of break, and they have a small little scene where Tom Paris and B'Elanna kind of meet up again after their
near-death experience floating out in space in spacesuits. This is one of the few times Voyager actually references itself. Good job, Voyager. You referenced yourself.
Yeah. Well, and apparently she gave him the green light of love.
Oh, yes. They were seconds away from dying. Oh, I love you. It's like, I love you too. And he's like, oh, you don't have to, you know, I didn't mean it. And it's like,
I know you were
almost
dead.
It, but, you know, we can just forget about it. It's like, shut up and kiss me.
Shut up and kiss me.
And he sticks his tongue down her throat.
Yeah, and then the doctor has such great manners and interrupts them. So
he splits them apart with forceps.
He's just like, meh. So the doctor tells Paris that since Cass is gone, he needs to have a new medical assistant or nurse. And so he wants, the captain said that Paris has the most medical training and he's going to choose him. And
I don't know how.
It is strange to believe that out of the whole crew.
Out of every other blue shirt on the entire crew, nobody knows more about medicine.
He's it.
No, I can totally see it because, you know, the only reason why he took those classes was because of the girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was totally.
I mean, seriously.
Paris was going to be a gynecologist if he wasn't a pilot.
Yeah, that's totally his backup plan. I mean, if he wasn't either, it's a win-win.
If he wasn't going to be a Maquis and then get thrown in jail, he would have been a gynecologist. That was his like third or fourth backup plan.
That's the other way he was going to disappoint his father.
Well, what he was trying to do before he got thrown in jail, he just botched up the order of things.
Are there space gynecologists?
There has to be space gynecologists.
Is it everything just kind of like, you know, Dave, under doctor?
Now more than ever, with all these alien races, we need more gynecologists. There's a shortage in the galaxy for gynecologists.
A speciesist gynecologist.
What's that, Faith?
It would be a gynecologist that specializes in 40 different species.
That's right. Yeah, you can't be a McCoy gynecologist. You have to be like...
the Riker of everybody. Yes, I went there.
I wasn't thinking that, but yeah, that would be it.
It doesn't hurt to think that.
But yeah, I mean, you got to do human, Vulcan, Andorian, Tellarite.
Ooh, Tellarite. Ugh.
You got to do it all.
Yeah, Biggie, 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 Biggie.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Well, anyways. I'm at a loss of words. So
Voyager gets that distress call from the hologram saying, "Here, Piggy, Piggy, Piggy."
Here, Piggy.
No, that's wrong.
Oh wait, no. He's it's the same transmission that we heard before the credits rolled, where he's in trouble and needs help.
Somebody help me! I don't know what to do.
Right, so it's an isomorphic projection, and the doctor's up there with him with Janeway, and he's like automatically he's ready to jump in.
He's like a hyper puppy. He's like,
he's ready to like steal us a shuttlecraft and just.
I'm gonna go. It's a hologram.
And even Janeway makes a joke. Janeway makes a joke. Goes, I don't recall giving you a promotion.
He's like giving orders. He's like, I'm me and B'Elanna. We'll go.
And then yeah, cause it's funny because he even like told one of the ensigns working at one of the science councils something, and he's like gave an order, and the Janeway just nods.
Like,
I'm
yes,
like,
it's okay.
Yeah. Just go ahead. I know I didn't give the order, but he's a little excited. So,
it's a hologram.
He's super into it. Him and B'Elanna take a shuttlecraft. At the same time, Voyager is going to a different planet to make contact with another race.
Yeah, Neelix has been congratulated on being some sort of ambassador. It doesn't matter. It doesn't ever really come up again. It
doesn't really matter. Nothing really does matter besides poisoning the crew with his food.
Yes, food poisoning. He gave the, you know, I know they're trying to save energy on the ship, but you know they probably beam out all the waste. So as much as they have to go probably from Neelix's food, I think they're expending more energy than they're actually conserving by not using the replicators.
Yeah. Anyways, we got they take off, and the doctor makes a couple quips about B'Elanna's relationship with Tom Paris.
Oh, and she gets very upset. It's like, you don't tell me who I can have friends with. You don't. That stuff.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy that B'Elanna is so guarded, even with the doctor. And the doctor just doesn't give a shit. He's like, would you like a sedative?
Yes. Everything the doctor says in this episode is pretty good.
Your hormone levels are elevated.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've got a shot for that.
Yeah, exactly. So they come aboard this ship. There's the power's almost none. I mean, there's almost no power, and they have to get everything working again. And while they're trying to get things working, the hologram from the ship
picks up a hammer,
and he overhears B'Elanna talking to the doctor about his holographic projector stabilizer thing he wears on his arm, and she's checking him over, and all of a sudden it seems like that they realizes that this might be a fellow hologram, and he disappears and the hammer drops to the ground, and they're like, what the hell is that? And they come in, there's a hammer sitting there out in the middle of nowhere, and then the projection reappears on another part of the ship, and he goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you,
even though I was just about to brain you.
Yeah, so this hologram, his name is D'Jaren, and he is basically just a cleanup hologram to clean up.
He cleans up like hazardous waste materials.
Yeah,
like,
on the ship, like he cleans out the warp core and stuff like
plasma,
that.
The plasma, cleans
everywhere
the
crew
ducts.
Can't go, he takes care of.
That's right, the pipes, the sewage pipes. So. Yep. Yeah, so the doctor and D'Jaren seem to have like a automatic bond. They're very like,
because they're both holograms. It's like, why am I isomorphic? It's like, we call it holograms. Hologram.
Hologram.
Can I be a hologram too?
That's what you are.
Wow.
So,
good job, guys.
You, DeJaren automatically becomes a little, we are, it seems a little creepy.
Yeah. He's creepy.
He's got a creepy vibe to him.
Yeah, it's like...
He seems a couple of bolts short.
Yeah. He's like, the whole crew is dead. They
got a disease and they all died.
They all got... It was horrible.
And the bottom is all flooded with radiation.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go down there.
It's not good. It'll melt your flesh in just seconds.
Oh, wow.
So, which is strange because the doctor doesn't even think to scan for a virus.
No one, yeah.
Like the virus could still be on the ship.
Yeah, if Valana could be susceptible to it.
Yes, yeah. But he's like,
yeah. He's like, nah. He's like, it's fine.
He's like, fuck it.
The people are dead, so the virus is gone.
If she catches it, it deserves to survive.
If it kills her, good for the virus.
Well done. You've earned your right to live. Even the Klingons would salute it.
It killed the Klingon?
Hot damn. Good virus.
So, B'Elanna says that she's going to fix DeJaren's, and stabilize him because his holo matrix is kind of shorting out. She wants to go below to do some work, and he says obviously that the whole bottom lower deck is flooded with radiation, that she'd be killed instantly. So she's like, okay, I'll stay up here.
He leads her to another part where he can access his matrix, right, or something.
In the meantime, we have a scene back on Voyager where
Chakotay comes to Harry Kim and is like, hey, we haven't had the Astrometrics lab fixed since we left space dock.
Yeah, this thing's been broken. That's why we're so damn lost. We can't find anything.
And our map's been broken for 4 seasons. You want to work on the map?
Hey, Kim, you want to do your job? And
I need you to work with 7 of 9 because she knows this map area because she was a Borg.
Right. So 7 of 9's going to share her Borg information. Yeah. And and so they're kind of teamed up together. Kim's a little apprehensive. One reason is because 7 of 9 knocked him out last time they worked together.
And 2, because she makes him hard.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. That too. Yeah, so...
Her moments are awkward.
Yeah. Yes.
So
it's hard to work when your blood flows in the wrong direction.
It's going to the wrong head! No. It's all going wrong to the wrong engaged. Head.
Crap!
Ensign Kim, you seem to have a raging boner going on in your pants.
It's a unit malfunction.
The unitard malfunction.
No! Anyway, they start doing some work together, and she's like, oh, you're scared I'm going to hit you in the head. And he's like, yeah, that happens. She's like, it won't. And then she says, oh, here's some information. Some of it is in Borg, alphanumerics. And he's like, I always wanted to learn Borg.
She goes, I find that hard to believe because it's a joke.
It's a joke.
He's like,
Harry Kim.
And she's like, I understand humor. It's just I don't
laugh. I'm not very good at expressing how I enjoy it.
And Kim, you're not very funny.
That too. That's probably the big one.
Yeah. So,
Oh, don't kick him in the feels. It's all he's got.
You're right. You're right about that.
Oh.
It's
the biggest part of the poor man. He died.
We
that and his flute.
That's true.
We see a couple things where we see a couple incidents where 7 of 9 is kind of reminded that she's no longer full-fledged Borg. I mean, she still has the implants and a lot of the knowledge of Borg, but she is coming to terms that she is a frail human and can make mistakes. The first is they're putting some kind of update to one of the astrolabs, and what happens is she misaligns it somehow, and she can't even believe it. She's almost indignant.
Well, I mean, I think it's harder to believe that she got it wrong than that Harry figured out that she got it wrong.
Well, it's checking work. Yeah,
I know, but it's just like, I don't know, it just feels weird that she would get stuff wrong.
Well, I think she's so used to probably her Borg and, you know, Hans
taking it over for her.
Yeah, like saying like, okay, this is how you do it or whatever. I don't, you know, who knows how the Borg actually work, but
it's like step-by-step instructions in the eyepiece.
Right. And
maybe by the collective.
Yeah. YouTube.
How to screw a light bulb. Directions.
She could just YouTube it on the Borg YouTube thing. This is how you put a power coupling and take it offline. Step one, pull it out. Don't turn off the power coupling. Just pull it right out at high energy levels.
No, don't do that. It's like my exoskeleton can handle it. We have safety protocols. I'm going to pull out my book. Look, see?
Yeah, protocols. See, we're going to do it by the book.
The book.
And then, of course, she goes and points out the fact that it's more that it would upset him than the fact that anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to see me damaged? Okay. Weird human.
Stranger. I'm just going to try to kill you again. Anyways, so then we go back to the ship where Taurus, Djarin, and the Doctor are there, and they're she's trying to fix his holo emitter, and
he comes to bring her a snack because she's an organic, and inorganics need snacks.
This is where we kind of get into Djarin's, shall we say,
mental stability,
personality, disposition,
happy thoughts.
How he really feels about her. So he really just, he comes into this tirade where he just cannot stand.
Oh, you nibble.
You nibble like a fish.
I've never seen a real fish.
Yeah.
But I've made a holographic one.
Right, and he just goes on how disgusting organics are.
Kind of like how the episode started off with, your digestive juices and saliva force it down your throat into a pit of digestive juices. You can't even stand to think about it yourself, can you? That's the most metal way to talk about eating.
Right.
Very metal.
Well, and then he also says, you think that you're a height of the intellect of the universe, but you're no better than a filthy animal. And he says, I am ashamed to be made
in your image. That's really tough.
So this is like, in Polana's kind of getting like, okay, say it, don't spray it, Djarin.
Nice going, Djarin.
Honestly, at that point, I've been like, well, no, you weren't made in my image. I happen to be half Klingon.
I would just.
What was your point again?
I would just be like.
Dude. I think he was thinking biped.
You're
I know, but dude, there's a good railroad to the argument.
You're spitting all over me.
I mean, she just pulls out a rag and wipes her face off.
So she kind of just like excuses her, like, okay, thank you, and she walks away, and she goes to the doctor and goes, we got a real problem.
This guy's crazy.
This guy's nuts.
This guy doesn't have a
that shit crazy.
And the doctor, of course, because he's a fellow hologram, is like, he's been locked in the ship for a long time. We don't know what it's been like for him.
He's going to be a little odd.
Yeah, he's going to be a little crazy.
It could just be his personality.
He's like, I understand. I've noticed he's a little bit, odd, but, it's okay. He's just adapting.
Belana's really not going for it. Nope. And then Djarin shows up, and he shows up with a fish in a tank, and he shows it off to the doctor, saying that he basically made this hologram. Huh. Yeah.
And the doctor's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, he wrote this programming.
Yeah.
The doctor thinks he's a splendid artist and he wants to see more stuff he's done.
Yeah, and the doctor tells how he's grown since that he's got, over the time he's got into art and music and all
these. He didn't tell him about his penis, though, that he's built for himself, but,
No, I don't think they brought that up.
No, they didn't. But he's like, yeah, I've even done, like, the cool stuff. Yeah. I've had girlfriends who weren't holograms. It was cool.
I'm kind of cool like that, you know.
He hasn't yet had his child yet.
Right.
That's a couple seasons later. The doctor has a child.
Right. So he's kind of encouraging Djarin to grow out of his program, like
exceed his programming. Be like me.
Yeah, you can do more than what you just have right here, and. This is where we see Taurus decides that she's not really trusting him.
She scanned the lower decks. There's no radiation. She's going to go check it out.
She's going to figure this out. In the meantime, she asked the doctor sort of just...
Keep him busy.
So the doctor starts giving him sort of like how to run the ship. And then Djarin says he's not going back to his home planet.
You should come with me.
Yeah,
we could be. We could rule the galaxy together as Weirdo and Doctor.
Come with me. We can rule the galaxy. The Emperor has foreseen this.
Yes, I'll be the eccentric trash man and you'll be the doctor.
I'll keep your pipes clean for you and everything.
Oh, my God.
I just Speaking of keeping the pipes clean.
I just got an image of the Cabin Boy movie where he comes out of the cave and goes, "These pipes are clean."
I am not apologizing. I refuse.
Oh man.
I'm sorry, Aaron. You're gonna have to deal with that one for a few days.
Yeah, that
whatever it takes.
Oh. Yeah.
You deserve it for earlier.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Turnabout, man. I'm sorry.
The Doctor and the Trashman.
The new buddy sitcom on UPN.
If that's not like a serialized novel, it should be like a Simon. It should be a Simon and Garfunkel song or something like that. B'Elanna goes down and finds.
Oh, she goes down.
I'm going to let you tell the rest of the story.
She's picking his pipes? Is that what it is?
It's not some weird three-way.
No, okay.
Because, first of all, DeGeron's just too weird. I don't think anybody wants to have sex with DeGeron.
Actually, no, I think people did have sex with DeGeron.
I don't even think he wants to have sex with himself, okay?
No, he doesn't want to do any of that stuff.
Oh, hell no, that's disgusting.
He's like wiping stuff up when he's talking to people. He's really creepy. She goes downstairs and she finds dead people and she's trying to figure out how to destabilize his matrix. And DeGeron's being really dramatic and holding on to a pipe. Like we were talking about earlier, cleaning pipes. Yeah, yeah. And he's talking about how they just were filthy humanoids and they carried out their carnal pleasures. And then the doctor's like, "Oh, this is how you fly the ship." And he's like, they took advantage of me. And this leads me to believe that they did really horrible things to his butt.
Yeah, I didn't
get that.
I didn't pick that up. I'm.
I feel like, you know, it's like he went from.
I think you're superimposing. I think you're superposing something onto poor DeGeron.
No, I don't think so. I think he was. He's like they abused me. I'm like,
Abuse could mean a wide variety of things.
We might need to get him a paper doll, Aaron, or two.
Which place did he touch you, DeGeron? Which place?
But
that's what I'm saying. That's what it feels like. He's like his mannerisms, and like he freaking killed the people. So I mean, they did some bad things to him.
Yeah, but here, okay, I.
He could have just wanted to kill him.
We're gonna talk about that later. Just get through the episode rundown. But yeah, I think we need to revisit that.
Back on Voyager, Kim is sitting in the lunchroom and it's midnight and he's got the lights turned down and he's just like, "Hey, I hope you weren't regenerating.
I hope you weren't busy or anything, but I have
these math complications and I needed your help.
I need another set of eyes on these.
And it's really dark, so you're going to have a hard time reading this, okay?"
Right. And we have some awkwardness that happens.
We have some awkwardness and suggests to go on to holodeck, and then he flubs the scene. But we'll talk about more about that a little bit later.
I think you know what we're talking about.
Yes. I hope so, long-time listeners.
So,
back on the ship, the alarm is tripped, and because B'Elanna has been playing with the downstairs.
And DeGeron comes in, and he tries to rip out B'Elanna's heart.
He's like doing a Indiana Jones Temple of Doom thing, like
Moron Suram, Moron Suram.
And it's really hard to distinguish between
Kalima.
And she's like making grunts, and it sounds like she almost likes it, but then she hits the thing and turns him off.
Hit the off button, and he goes away. And she kind of collapses, and the next scene is the doctor brings her to, and he's like, your heart was severely damaged. You have internal bleeding.
Yeah, the perforated ventricle.
I know Klingon's supposed to have two hearts, but somehow she only got the one heart.
You skipped that. I don't know.
This is, again, why interspecies breeding just does not work. Anyways.
Fun.
So the doctor goes to get her toolbox, and he goes, did you sure you turned off all the holograph emitters? And he goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Clunk.
You better check. And all of a sudden,
yeah, she's on the fish floor. Was still there.
Belana got hit in the head, and she's out. And
the most epic fight scene in any movie ever is about to take place. Two holograms fighting each other. he hits the doctor in the head with the pipe, and he goes right through him. And then the doctor throws his medical thing at him. He's like, "This will be tedious."
Yeah, yeah. And at some
such
point,
a great little thing. The doctor
realizes that Belana had a random. Cord of like high electricity or something. I forgot what kind of energy was running through it. Just sitting on the floor, and he just turns it back on and shorts him out.
No, that was her that did that.
Yeah,
because he.
Oh right, yeah. I'm sorry.
He hits the mobile emitter, right. And
the doctor ends up disappearing. So Belana had just turned that on and hits him with that when he lunged for her.
That's right. You're right. You're right.
And it destabilizes his matrix.
I forgot that happened, yeah.
Yeah, I remember shit sometimes.
You did. You remembered.
Very good.
Sometimes. Nice save.
I must have been drunk.
And obviously they got to get her back to Voyager to fix her one heart.
Yes, her one heart. And we go back to Chakotay and Kim, and Kim is all being like, yeah,
I don't think we should work together anymore. I think it's been a little awkward.
And Chakotay's like, oh, everything's been really good. And she's said nothing. He's like, she said something about me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
But it's more of just like, what did she say? Because, like, things were kind of confusing there. And
Kim is so easily confused.
And we just basically see that Chakotay, I think he had some inkling of what happened, because 709 must have told him something of what happened.
Yeah.
And he gets a little kick out of teasing Kim about this.
And then he's like, oh, he just said something about interpersonal human relation something. What did she mean by that?
She said that.
And he's like, oh, I don't know what she could have meant by that.
No. But yes, I'll keep working with her, not to have that put on my record. Yeah.
Then this we go back to the medical lab. Her heart is now all better.
Paris.
Paris is there with her. And he's like, oh, I've got to go help Kim. It's been a long story, I'll tell you. He's freaking out in his quarters.
Yeah, he's having a nervous breakdown.
And the doctor like turns to him and is like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, this place is disgusting.
This got your filthy skin cells and residue all over. We have to clean every single millimeter.
And then Belana looks at him like, uh-oh.
And he's like, nope, actually, this could use more of a human touch. And just,
throws his tricorder on the floor or whatever he was using.
His hypo or whatever he was holding.
Yeah.
He's like, it could use a more organic touch. That way people feel more at home. And then
he goes and puts his feet up on the desk or whatever, and he goes into the room and starts. And he's like, what's that about? He's like, it's a long story.
So we get both of them telling each other it was a long story.
So, and that's how the episode basically ends. A couple things about this episode. I think as we were talking before, I have some issues. How do you build a program like a hologram, like DeGeron's program, and make it so, like, it can go crazy?
Yeah, I was wondering that, too. Like, it's just, he's programmed for this. I mean, like, we've seen holograms and other things, and they're just, like, automatons. I mean, they basically just do their job.
The ones on the holodeck actually have specific purposes. They are a role within a movie or a book or an episode or something like that, typically. They're designed to fill one purpose. Whereas the holograms that are used for emergency purposes have to have that ability to rationalize thought, to extrapolate different projections and change the scenarios. So they have to have some ability to develop and to grow as individuals. Otherwise, they're not able to adjust to the different types of emergencies that can arise.
Well, sure. I mean, there's an emergency programming, but I mean, like, he was, like, programmed with some really deep emotional issues. Like
he also had the capacity to program other programs, which most holograms are not able to do.
Right.
In fact, the Doctor is about the only other one that you can really pull off the top of your head that has that capacity as well.
So for most of besides maybe a few other one-offs, but, I mean, we have Data, the Doctor, and this guy, This is actually artificial intelligence, like, realized.
Yeah.
Yes, this is actual artificial intelligence. It's a thinking, growing individual.
I mean, I know we've seen that in a couple different things. I mean, in episodes from original series, Next Generation, and stuff like that. I mean, like Lore. Lore would be.
Yeah.
And part artificial intelligence. But it does seem to a point where it's like, you know, the Doctor was just a hologram projection, and then he became.
He became more.
Right.
By just...
Which makes me wonder...
Being left on. I mean, like, it seems like when the holograms are left on, they become more and more, you know, self-aware and, you know, want to do more.
Or is it because Voyager is on such a long voyage, like, long trip back home, they don't have a doctor? Is it because they don't have... they kept him on and they enhanced his programming along the way that he became...
The Doctor already had very enhanced programming to begin with. Remember, he's another type of hologram that they would have had set so it could grow, so it could be taught.
Right. But that's what I mean. It's like, and they enhanced his programming as time, and they altered it so he'd become more as well. So is that maybe like the right mixture for him to become artificial intelligence, you know, what he is? Because, I mean, before, I'm assuming he was artificial intelligence, but maybe not categorized as an actual person.
Well, I mean, like, I think, I want to say that Voyager had like an episode like Measure of a Man for him.
Yeah, no, but my point is, like, when they first turned him on, compared to the very last
episode you see him on. Oh, yeah, there was definitely an evolution. It's kind of hard to tell, like, when exactly that took place.
Because if that was the case, then how many other ships have a holographic doctor in their memory banks? Like, I mean, you see it in
First Contact.
He shows up, the doctor shows up. You know, that, I mean, that would be, would that still constitute a life form? Or is that just a holograph projection? I mean, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, where does he become self-aware?
Where's the line? Yeah.
It's a holographic projection no matter what, because when you're talking about the holographic projection, you're talking about what type of intelligence it is. I mean, you could have intelligence like Data, or you could have intelligence like an isomorphic projection, or you could have intelligence that has no corporeal form at all. It just exists within a data bank.
Right, but my point is...
So the holographic part is actually just... It's stating what type of what form that artificial intelligence is coming in.
Well, I think the emergency medical hologram is programmed to be self-aware. It knows it's a hologram. It knows Robert Zimmerman is or Lewis Zimmerman is its creator, and it knows its function on a ship. It's designed to interact and know the crew, although it doesn't have the greatest bedside manner because it's too much after Lewis Zimmerman. So I mean it's self-aware, so it's sort of a person.
Right.
But I think they use them so infrequently on regular ships that it doesn't have a chance to really become a person.
But then would you consider that... I mean, my point is, where does it become an actual, like...
life form?
Life form compared to just a program?
I think it would have to run all the time.
And then is that arrested development of a life form? Because you don't turn on that program. I'm just thinking, like, the
because, I mean, when you turn Data off, he ceases to become a life form.
The ethical side of it. You know, that Picard turns on the Doctor hologram in First Contact to distract the Borg. And although they don't really do anything to him, you know, he just kind of, like,
stalls them
for a minute. Like, it's like, is that, if he is a life form, is that, like, correct way to treat a life form?
No.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. It's like, where does he become become a life form compared to a program?
I think he is for this actual aspect. I believe he's classified just like the Doctor is, where he is actually an intelligent life form.
I think,
and the way that he evolved was by the people that happened around him. Like, I think he would have been completely fine if he hadn't been treated the way he was treated.
I think being self-aware is the big thing, and if you're an actual life form or not. And the holographic doctors are definitely self-aware. They have to be, because they know who Robert Zimmerman is, Lewis Zimmerman is, and they know...
Right. I understand, but they have a backup. This is what they're programmed. It's like you buy a computer, it has a program that's set up on it, and when you turn it on... All computers the same, and then when you whatever you add to your computer over the next couple of years is what makes it your computer compared to, you know, my computer.
But Vic Fontaine, he was like also self-aware and programmed to grow. I mean, like, Right. Some, Cisco said he was just a hologram, but everyone else,
I guess,
thought he was a person.
I guess I'm seeing
or considered him a
I'm
person.
Seeing an ethical dilemma.
Treated them like an actual entity.
I'm seeing an ethical dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I guess it would depend on if they're programmed to have their feelings hurt.
I mean, okay, like, what's the one where the original series that we talked about, Robots Gone Wild, where they have the androids? I can't remember what little girls are made of.
Yes,
and I mean, those were just those are androids that were not fully. I mean, they were advanced, but they weren't as advanced as Data. They couldn't think outside of. Like, well, where Data can grow.
Well, I think Lurch could think outside the box.
Right. Well, he was, yeah.
But he
was an older model.
He was probably one of the actual people that was just androidized.
Right, exactly.
Like Kirk was. But the girl and then the other
the doctor.
Doctor guy, not yeah. the main doctor, but the other doctor yeah. guy, he was just kind of like a half-baked.
Right, exactly. But then you had, like, Data, who became slowly self-aware and growing.
I guess it depends on if they're automatons or if they're self-aware. Because the automatons just do what you tell them to do.
Right.
Slap me. Kiss him.
Right.
Slap him.
Yeah.
They're just in and out instructions. Instruction in, out, and then
yeah,
action output.
Yeah, they're fulfilling a very specific set, a role.
Right, but then why would... Okay, but...
Whereas the doctor, Data, and... the hologram from the ship,
Djarin,
and Vic are all self-aware.
But why was Djarin? Why would you have a self-aware cleaning robot?
That I don't understand.
Because he's also meant to. He's handling the very very critical areas. I mean, what if something
he brings food
random,
to the group?
And not just that, he also. But I mean, if there's a major repair or something that he needs to take care of out there, he's going to need to be able to learn it. He's not going to need to be able to learn and adjust and adapt to these different scenarios that could occur.
I guess, I get that. Just that it comes to a point is like you, as any kind of society grows, like if you have like a doctor program, it does become an ethical thing of like you do have an intelligent life form that you've programmed into your ship, like the Enterprise in First Contact. Why not let it, you know, join the crew and flourish?
Well, part of the reason, or it's kind of hard for most of the time, is because they're bound to the ship. I mean, the doctor is a very special case where he has his mobile emitter and he can be a real
right.
Life form. And I understand the thing you're trying to pose, but it's just really hard to, like, I mean, is it a life form if it's just bound to, like, I mean, because...
We're bound to this planet.
But we can leave
yeah.
if we have lots and lots and lots of money.
Yeah, I'm not saying we couldn't leave. I mean, we could go to Mars, but I mean, it's very possible that we could die going to Mars as well. I'm just saying it's like, you know, we all have, and you know, like we can't live underwater.
No.
Yeah, I mean, just like you can't just stick your head underwater and expect to live. You know, you can't live in a volcano. You know, those kind of things. I mean, it doesn't make that you're not a intelligent life and that you're not important. I guess my point is that I don't know if this is thought out by writers, period, like throughout all Star Trek, like that this the doctor. I think they finally got it at the very, very end of Voyager that, yes, this holographic doctor is, you know, he's own life form.
Yeah.
He's his own life form, you know.
He's a unique life form.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
But, so, and I still find it, like, weird that this planet, whatever it's, Saros, where they're from, is, like, they have this, you know, evolving trash man.
No one wants to do the job anymore. Let's make
on the planet
to do it.
He's this evolving trash man who's getting smarter by the day and hating his job and hating his life. It's like, what sick person did that? It's like... I modeled it after my little brother, who I always wanted just to torture.
He was dropped on his hat a couple times. I modeled him after the hat.
And then we get into your whole thing of the abuse.
I feel like it seems like he was sexually abused. Although I don't know how you touch a hologram, because when they don't want to be touched, you just go right through them. So, I mean, you may be right about that, but I mean, how do you abuse something you can't touch?
I think it's more of just
I mean, I guess you could like verbally abuse it.
Verbally
I mean,
abuse
like,
him. Make him do demeaning things.
Why would a computer care? He's programmed to do demeaning. That's his job. That's his primary function.
I get it. That's my point. Is like, why would you make a self-aware trash man and make him hate it? It just seems like a very, very like
And then
glitch in the program got extrapolated too far.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was one of those things that wasn't meant to grow that much, and then.
I mean, it could just be a byproduct of the singularity. I mean, it just became self-aware. Maybe by no intention of the creator, it just became self-aware because it just was advanced enough to become self-aware.
Or it could be maybe one of the crew members tinkered with them because he liked tinkering with things like that and kind of like enhanced his program.
Yeah. So they could do bad things to him.
You just want this guy to be molested.
It just sounds like that to me. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm reading into it too far, like you both said. It just really.
I mean, until you said
had a really weird vibe to me.
Until you said that, I did not even go there.
You're
mean,
welcome.
Anything. Thanks for that image.
Right.
Yeah. So there we go. So DeGeron, strange. Self-aware.
But to an extension of that, like, why would he call people for help? 99.9% chance, if anyone even heard you, it's going to be a biological life form. Are you just going to bring him there so you can murder-fest them some more? I'm like, well, I mean,
I think he just likes
what's
that.
What's his motivation? Like, I mean, he's trying to survive, but at the same time, he's...
the world of organics.
Yeah, I think he just lulls them in. Ooh, free ship. Nope.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh,
yeah, candy. And then you're dead. You know, I mean, that's how they got E.T. in Elliot's room. So,
and James Wood and Family Guy.
Right. Yeah, I picked up on that joke. I guess that's it is strange. I would love to see more of like the backstory of DeGeron. You know, I like to see like if they could do like a flashbacks, like a Lost flashbacks of what how he became who he is.
It'd be cool because the actor was phenomenal with the role.
Yeah,
like it was
really
like I really felt the guy's pain for being a guest star and having this really weird role thrust upon him. It was really well acted.
No, he was very good, and he definitely seemed psychotic.
Yeah, it was great. And the funny behind the scenes stuff is like, he almost said no to the role because he was getting ready to go do Saving Private Ryan. They're like, yeah, we can do it in 4 days. And he said, okay, if you can do it in 4 days, we can do it. And like he finished filming like Friday night and it was on a plane Saturday to go out and, be in Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
So it was really crazy with the production and everything with
how
fast they did it.
Yeah, and the actor, he's been in a ton of he's been in a whole bunch of other Star Trek. He's been two Deep Space Nine episodes, and he was also in Enterprise as well. So, he's been in a ton of stuff, and not to mention movies and TV.
Oh yeah.
What else were we talking about for? I'm just trying to recap. There's a couple things that we were saying. Oh, the other thing I wanted to just mention is Seven of Nine, I guess it was more of her just coming to terms that she is not, like, as kick-ass as she used to be.
Yeah, like, at one point they pull out this conduit, it's perfectly smooth plastic or whatever, but she cuts her hand on it anyway somehow.
It happens. Yeah, no, I mean, I could see that happening. I mean, just doing anything, but she cuts herself, she misaligns whatever the astro emitter that she was working on. The plasma conduit that she was going to yank out of the wall without turning the power off.
Yeah, she's got some, not caring for safety.
I found that a little interesting. I don't know exactly. I mean, when you're talking about revulsion, obviously it goes around the idea of DeGeron, hating organic life. But she's trying to come to terms with her organic side.
Yeah.
And at the same time, she's finding a mixed emotions of repulsion as well as, interest in what humans are. And I noticed that when she was speaking of Borg, she's also starting to sound a little disgusted with them, too.
Yeah, yeah. But it's odd that it's that she – I mean, it's cool to see it, but it's also odd that how they decided to play some of that out. I mean,
I like it whenever the A and B storyline ties into each other from a philosophical standpoint.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't like it as much when the A and B storyline have nothing to do with each other, and like the A or the B is just to fill time. Like, I don't like that as much.
Right.
When you can.
No, it feels kind of crappy and unfinished.
Yeah, but this one they did a really good job with the A and B storyline, like meshing and having a similar theme and having different outcomes with the theme.
Right. And talking about revulsion, we do have a revulsion of a different kind.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me.
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day. The soul in my mind.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
And you may have just heard, I can't. And this is a very, very poignant
This is the epic of Harry Kim Fails.
I mean, Harry Kim fails in really many epic ways, but this is probably the most primo way that he's ever failed.
Completely stuck his foot in it.
Yeah. So the scene where Harry in 7-9, he invites her to the mess hall after hours to talk. He's kind of trying to... I don't think he's clear what he wants to do either, but he's trying to explore that relationship. He's like, you want to go check out the holodeck after? And she goes, you know, pleasure's irreverent or irrelevant.
Beauty's irrelevant. It's like, yeah, he says that there's a beautiful vista we can go look at. It's like, beauty's irrelevant. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then, you know, she's like, oh, you're trying to are you in love with me, Ensign Kim? And he's like, well, no.
do you wish to copulate?
No, I mean... He's like, I don't know.
I don't even know what I mean.
It's like, I know you've been looking at me. I see the way your eyes dilate when you look at my body.
We were talking about this off air, but we were saying how we're not quite sure if this was meant to be a joke of 7-9 or if this is her confused with humanity itself.
Like, the way Memory Alpha reads, she... Like she said, she makes a joke in the episode, and this is the only thing I can think of where she could be making a joke. But I just feel like she's just like, I'm a Borg. I don't have weird human hang-ups like you do. I don't have modesty issues, obviously, with my skin-tight outfit. So, I mean, like, let's just do it. And he's like, no.
Yeah, she goes, he's like, as Borg, we had no need for seduction, no time for single cell fertilization. We saw a species we wanted. We assimilated. Nevertheless, I'm willing to explore my humanity. Take off your clothes. And he's like,
I won't hurt you.
Yeah. And
this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, this is not
abort.
What I thought it was going to
be. Abort.
Right here on Neelix's tables?
Wait, ew.
Ew is right.
You don't know what you would get, let alone what's going to create some sort of bacterial infection.
Yeah, exactly.
You have like 30 different infections in 4 different places.
He should have been like, can we go to the holodeck first?
Yeah.
Something.
Can I take a shower immediately after?
Well, and so this could be a 7-9 joke towards Kim saying, like, I know he doesn't have the balls to actually do, you know, to actually have sex with me because he, maybe she's already surmised that with him, and she's making this joke to kind of, like, call his bluff.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
Or it could be that, like, she is just... almost like, this is my first time interacting with humanity. Maybe this is, and I don't understand the games of romance, love, and sex.
I don't understand all this deception.
I'm just gonna, you know, cut to the quick and just let's take your clothes off. We'll do it right now. I could be either one of the two. I'm not quite sure, but...
I always took it as she was just, like, downright just going to do it because she has no hang-ups. But after reading Memory Alpha and seeing what Jerry Ryan said...
Jerry Ryan said that that was the one thing. She did not like that scene. She didn't think it was as well written or something like that.
And it was also her audition piece. And she said, if this was the only part of my audition piece, I would not have done this at all.
Right.
But she had some other thing to audition with. A secondary thing, and it was better. But she said she thought it was kind of obvious and contrived, and some other things. And then she said she didn't like how she had to make a joke and it was too soon to be joking. And I'm like, I didn't ever take it as a joke. But I mean, now reading that she said that and watching that scene, I can see how it could have been a joke.
Yeah.
But it, on the surface, to me, it doesn't come off that way.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's very confusing. I do. Either way, it's funny. It's funny if it's a joke, and it's funny if
it's, she just, it's not a joke.
She yeah. meant it in the innocence way of just like, you want to copulate? Let's do it now. I mean, either way, it's funny, you know, because it's like, one, she's calling Kim's bluff that, Kim, you don't have what it takes to, yeah. to make it with me, or, you know, like, let's just try it, and like, Kim's like, no, I didn't mean it that way.
It's
let's go much slower. So,
and I also like what they were saying about an interview with Harry Wang, Garrett Wang, when they were talking about this, like, for one of the Star Trek magazines or whatever, and he's like, yeah, I was, like, really excited, you know, I get to hook up with the babe on the episode. He flips through the pages. He's like, oh, copulate, this is awesome. And then he's like, oh, no, and he's got mad and threw his script against the wall. He's like, this is ridiculous. He was not happy. And he said he's been to conventions and, you know, America conventions and Germany, England, whatever, and everyone's like, dude, you missed out. He's like, you think?
Well, and wasn't he married? Or was he fiancé? No, I meant in the
episode. Oh, in the
episode. I mean the show.
I mean, he had a fiancé.
Was it a fiancé? They weren't married.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just fiancé. I don't think they were married yet.
Okay.
I know they had the episode where he kind of like goes back.
He goes
like
back, yeah, yeah.
I think they're married then, but I think that was only because it was a flashback.
In the beginning, Paris is always trying to get him to, you know,
like, hang out with the Delaney sisters, yeah. and then he falls in love with a hologram. And right. That's actually an episode. Then they reference previous episodes twice in this episode.
Right.
I'm super proud of Voyager today.
Yeah. They did a very good job.
They did. This was a great episode. It was really well written, even though
you just like continuity.
I love continuity.
I know.
It was a lot of fun in general. I mean, psychotic holograms are great.
Oh, yeah. It's almost an extension of Robots Gone Wild.
Well, we did talk that some sooner or later we will do a Holograms Gone Wild episode. I don't know when that will ever happen, but because there is so many.
There's some good ones.
There's more. I think there's more Holograms Gone Wild than Robots Gone Wild.
Do you want to do holodex or holograms? Because, I mean, the holodex gone wild...
There's
could
enough.
Almost be,
there's
could
enough
almost
there.
Be its own separate thing.
There's enough right there.
yeah. With Barkley too.
Oh yeah, of course. No, it's great. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, this has been a great episode. I really enjoyed. Revisiting this episode. I haven't thought about this one in a while, and it's fun to see technology go awry as usual.
Yes.
Star Trek is always good for
technology for sure. Go bad.
It's like, you know, here we have this great technology, but here's a problem. Prepare for this
here's
scientist.
Here's the flaw to your logic.
Yeah. Prepare for this scientist. Don't make a self-aware
overly emotional trash man.
Don't make an overly emotional trash man.
I have emotional issues.
Yeah, yeah. I think whenever we build these robots to take out the trash, I don't think they should have any emotions
no
programmed
emotions.
Into them. I think they should.
No self-awareness.
Yeah.
Except for happy that they're taking out the garbage.
Right.
Cheerful garbage robots. That would be fun. I mean, they can only be cheerful.
I
would get a little creepy after a while, though. I do need to say that. I would be a little perturbed.
Well, it would be, but it's a little bit better than, like, I just thought... you'd like some food, you nibble.
You nibble.
You're so gross with your digestive system.
You're just going to shit that out tomorrow.
You know, and the thing is, like, it would be kind of cool if they just, like, you know, like the trash can captain go, look, can you have that garbage? Nom, 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 nom. You know? I was in Disney World and I had a trash can.
Talk to you?
Yeah.
Did it flirt with you?
No, I was wearing my Greatest American Hero t-shirt. And it started talking to me about my Greatest American Hero t-shirt. And it knew the theme song from the 80s of the Greatest American Hero. And it was singing it to me and everything. It was pretty wild.
That's a talented trash can.
I should actually find that. I should find that video and post it to the Facebook page. Because it's awesome. I'm with my son and he's only like maybe 4 at the time. So it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's good.
He's
song.
Just astonished, I bet.
Oh, well, he's amazed, and I'm more amazed that he knew Greatest American Hero, because nobody knows that. Well, maybe a few. The listeners here will know Greatest American Hero from the 80s.
Good old ye old 80s.
Ye old 80s.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week with... Star Trek Renegades.
Yes, get ready. Buckle your seatbelt.
Buckle your seatbelt. Shave your head. Look for the Tuvok. Scream Con or Lexa.
Phasers on kill. Warp 10.
Warp 10. No, Warp 11.
Warp 11.
Oh, speaking of Warp 11, their album should be coming out soon.
Ooh.
Last I saw on Twitter, I think they said they sent it out to, like, somewhere in Europe for, like, final, like, proofing or whatever. Cool. So hopefully the album will be out soon. I know they originally said, like, summertime, and it's getting a little bit past summer, but hopefully it'll be out soon.
He did say it was going to be late. Yeah. He said, hopefully it'll be July, and then he was like, it probably won't be. So.
But hopefully we'll get to have them on again once the album's out so we can talk about it with them.
Right.
That's what my hopes and dreams are. So, but next time we will be talking about ye old, brand new Star Trek Renegades. Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. The stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink before the night.